Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowd, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have these weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' The slave said to him, 'Do you want us to go out and pull up the weeds?' He replied, 'No, if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He proposed another parable to them. 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It's the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches.' He spoke to them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened.' All these things Jesus spoke to the crowd in parables, spoke to them only in parables, to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, 'I will open my mouth to them in parables, or will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world.' Then, dismissing the crowds, he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' Jesus said in reply, 'He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed, children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The harvesters are the angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all those who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. Last week, as you remember, because it's influenced the entire last week, Jesus spoke to us about that parable of the sower, seed, and soil to indicate to us how he wants us to receive his word and his work within us. We know from our basic knowledge of farming what normally occurs once a seed has been planted in good soil. It starts to grow, eventually produces fruit, and that fruit likewise contains within many seeds that can then be planted elsewhere. Spiritually, the same thing is supposed to happen in us. With 3 different images in today's gospel, Jesus describes the transition from being fertile soil to fruitful soil, from being a good disciple, a good follower of the Lord, to a good prophet of the Lord, somebody who brings others to him. He teaches us 3 very important realities about how his kingdom grows. Insofar as each of us has been called and chosen by God through the church to enter into and expand that kingdom, these three parables are deeply relevant to who we are and what God is calling us to do. In one parable, Jesus tells us first that the kingdom, the church, like a mustard seed, starts really small, but then grows to be huge. In a second, he says that the members of the church are meant to function in the world like yeast does in bread. We're supposed to make everything rise. And in the third, he states that the church's growth doesn't happen in a vacuum. There's also an enemy in the field, sowing weeds, trying to wreck God's harvest. In other words, trying to destroy you and me and all those we know and love. All three images are meant to guide us at every moment of the church's life. Therefore, I wouldn't love you if I didn't preach on all three. I'm not just going to choose one. Let's focus on all three because they're all interconnected. First, it's that the church begins like a tiny mustard seed. We can ask, what is that seed? In the third parable, when Jesus explains, he says the seed is the children of the kingdom. But the way we become children of the kingdom is first by receiving a seed. And that seed is Jesus, who described himself as the grain of wheat who fell to the ground and died. But when he rose, his church began to grow. And like a mustard seed, it began to expand throughout all time and place in the world. From that one seed growing in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, from that one person in Palestine, the God-man, the church was born and grew into the largest of shrubs, which countless people throughout the ages, including whole nations, 1.2 billion people today, have been able to come and find shelter in its branches. That tree continues to live today, right here and now, and we're in it. We're not only in it as branches, we're part of the tree, along with Christians of all times in the past and to come. Together with Christ as branches on the vine, we are the church. The branches of the church extend throughout the whole globe in areas of great sunshine and of great darkness, with all of us taking our roots in that one event, that one piece of fertile soil on Calvary, the one seed that fell to the ground three times and died and rose again like a plant in springtime, giving life to all of us throughout time. And we see this pattern of growth from a minuscule mustard seed into something huge throughout the history of the church. So many religious orders and apostolates that the Lord has raised up to help the church throughout time begin really small, often with just one saint. But over the course of sufferings and patience, they grow to be enormous. So many parishes begin with just a bunch of poor, committed families. But over the course of years and decades, with sacrifice, time, and the Lord's help, grew to be quite huge. Sometimes we can ask ourselves, especially now in the northeastern United States, whether Jesus' words had an expiration date. Because we see that in some places, the church seems to be dying. Parishes are closing. Whole dioceses in places in Europe haven't had vocations for a long time. Some religious orders, the average age seems to be about 106. Do Jesus' words still apply? Some places, like Northern Africa, all that we have left of the church are a whole bunch of what we call titular sees that auxiliary bishops get as their so-called diocese to pray for the deceased in those lands. Could the same happen elsewhere? Why does this occur? Does this parable still have meaning? Of course it does. The Lord gives this parable for every age. If the church in some areas has gotten smaller, the Lord's permitted it. so that those still alive could have the experience of the full meaning of the parable through beginning again, through beginning smaller, like a new mustard seed planted from a tall tree. He wants us to experience for ourselves the exhilarating growth of the mustard seed. He wants to root ourselves ever more in Him through the experience of growth with Him. As we do, we have every hope that just like the thousands of times before us in the history of the church, we'll get bigger again. And many others will be able to nest in the branches that will come from this union in future generations. We need to trust in Him like the first Christians trusted in Him, though. We need to trust in Him like the founders of religious orders. We need to trust in Him like the first generations of parishioners in so many places who sacrifices so much to build churches on firm foundations. The truth is that when the church becomes as big as a Middle Eastern mustard tree, many can forget the lessons that the Lord Jesus teaches us in this lesson of the mustard seed. When the church is a tree, an enormous institution, many people can stay on the peripheries and neither share in nor contribute to the growth God wants to bring about. They can convince themselves that there are thousands of other people to do the job, thousands of other volunteers, thousands of other people who can respond to a vocation, dozens of big, rich benefactors to help the church make ends meet, and so that they can pass the buck to somebody else. The Lord permits some of the times the church to retract so that we can all experience the meaning of these words again. So that we can all step forward, so that all hands can be on deck, so that we will no longer be spectators, but participants. What a great grace this is, but also a challenge. Today's parable is a promise and an image of hope. If we begin to live really in the kingdom, to allow what God wants to do in us to happen fully, the growth that happened before will happen again. After all, if the Lord could take His mother, a few women, and 12 relative nobodies, 11 of whom cowardly abandoned Him in His moment of need, and transform the whole world, then Harlem's nothing. Then all of New York's nothing, if we have similar faith. The Lord wants us to be a 21st century illustration of His words. Second image Jesus gives us today to describe the growth of His kingdom is of yeast and bread. The bread is the whole world, and we Christians are called to be that leaven. One Christian in a neighborhood, or one truly Catholic family on a street, should be enough over time to transform the neighborhood in that street if the Christians don't hide their faith under a bushel basket. Similarly, one true Christian or a few in a school or in a workplace should be enough over time to impact all the rest. The true Christian, Jesus is saying, is the exact opposite of a bad apple. We know what happens with a bad apple. It eventually corrodes the whole bushel. A Christian, as yeast, is supposed to be a good apple. Something that even takes the corruption out of the bad apples. We're supposed to be the yeast that can make the whole world lift up their hearts to God. The Lord wants us to be the yeast of New York. He wants us to be the leaven inside the oven of the church and to go out as leaven as we announce the gospel, taking our faith and living it in such a way that like yeast and dough, everyone will be drawn toward God. Just think about what St. Mother Teresa did in Calcutta. One tiny Albanian nun in a city sprawling with millions. She just started caring for people left to die in gutters. Soon some former students joined her. Others joined her. And she and they and you have had a dramatic impact, not just in Calcutta, but throughout the world. We can look at other religious orders and so many other saints who have been instruments of the Lord. Just one person saying yes, and that person started to lift up others. And soon, together, they started to lift up whole communities and spread. This is how the church continues to grow. We have to turn to the third and last image, that this growth as mustard seeds and as leaven doesn't happen in a vacuum. Jesus' third parable concerns the fact that while the Lord wants this growth to occur, there's an enemy trying to sabotage His plans. Jesus identifies the enemy straight out as the devil. And the devil's trying to slither among us right now. At the same time that the Lord's trying to sow good seed, Himself in us and us in the world, the children of the kingdom, you and I, if we're truly in His kingdom, giving the King the homage He is due. The devil is sowing those who are beholden to Him into His lies. These are the anti-yeast, the bad apples, who rather than lifting everyone toward God, bring people down to behave without faith or supernatural vision, to behave more like proud devils, to behave morally, sometimes like animals. Jesus describes that the weeds are the children of the evil one who cause others to sin and do evil. Does any of us deny that these weeds exist in our world? And that the field of New York and the United States is becoming more and more populated with these weeds? From those pushing abortion or trying to redefine marriage and the family, to those getting whole states to legalize and sell drugs, to television channels and websites pushing porn, to politicians seeking to undermine religious freedom, to celebrities exhibiting irresponsible, materialistic, and pleasure-seeking lifestyles. Whether they realize it or not, they're under the sway of the evil one, living by principles contrary to the gospel. These weeds and many others affect other spiritual growth. Some of these weeds are even in the church. Those who are more attuned to the spirit of the age than to the Holy Spirit, St. Paul told us about in today's second reading. Those who oppose what God is trying to do. Those who act or speak contrary to church teaching or to the ways the Holy Spirit is bringing about a revitalization. The good and bad seed exist together, and they grow together. Any farmer today might ask why Jesus in the gospel just didn't let the servants take out all the weeds. It's a good question. The reason is because good seed and good fruit might be lost. In the Holy Land, the weed and the wheat Jesus was talking about are indistinguishable when they come out of the soil. Even expert farmers can't tell the difference in the early first stages. But then when they've grown large enough for you to tell what's the weed and what's the wheat, the weeds are so intertwined underneath that if you tried to pull up just the weeds, you'd be ripping out the weeds too. So in the parable, Jesus, based on their knowledge of how things grew in the Holy Land, said we need to be patient. We need to be prudent so that we don't lose the good seed or the children. The good seed and the bad seed. The good children living according to the kingdom and the bad living outside the kingdom grow up beside each other. And we can't really tell the difference between them. Especially early in life. Sometimes even when we're 80, we're still early in life. We can't judge by present appearances. We need to wait until the end when Jesus Himself will judge. And this should give us great confidence for two reasons. First, Jesus is saying we shouldn't be overly surprised or discouraged when we find bad seed in the church or in our families or in our neighborhoods who live contrary to the gospel, live contrary to Jesus' standards. Jesus tells us in this parable that there are going to be some bad seed, so we should bear with it. But He also tells us that while such weeds can provide frustration for the farmer, for the Christian, they ultimately can't stop the growth of the good seed. Notice what the servants did in the parable. Rather than focusing on their own growth, they were going and saying, can we go fix everybody else's problems? Can we rip them out? And the gardener says, no, be patient, because he wants you to bear even greater fruit. Sometimes we can get distracted when we're focused on so many others' issues, on taking the plank out of their eyes rather than the specks out of our own, so that we can bear greater fruit. The second point of great hope is that we never know whether even those who seem for sure to be weeds may in the final analysis turn out to be wheat. We only have to think about St. Paul, who as Saul opposed the kingdom, but after his conversion became one of the greatest apostles of all time. A huge chunk of yeast in the kingdom. You can also think of the great St. Augustine, who when he fathered a young child out of wedlock and cohabitated with his girlfriend, living a totally morally dissolute life, eventually, after the prayers of his mother over so many years, converted and became one of the greatest teachers of the faith, and his writings continue to provide leaven to this day. Even someone we know who is passionately living contrary to the kingdom may one day be given the grace of conversion and become a great saint, bearing much good fruit from what seemed only to be just weeds. And guess what? If we think that we've been a bad seed, if we haven't produced good fruit ourselves, this parable is still a sign of hope for us too. And thanks be to God that we weren't ripped up at our worst in the past. At this Mass, through these three inspiring parables, the Lord wants to strengthen us to carry out this crucial mission of spreading His kingdom for the salvation of the world and for those we meet. He doesn't do so just through the planting of the seed of His Word through our ears into our hearts. He does so by planting Himself, the mustard seed, into our mouths and digestive tracts through Holy Communion. From within, He wants us to grow on good soil so that others, in seeing us, may see more and more of His fruit on our branches. He wants us to root ourselves evermore in His passion and death, and experience the mustard seed's growth within, so that we might share that exponential growth with others. He wants to help us to become His yeast, leavening all around us, both inside and outside. And He wants us to realize that unless we work with Him for other salvation, many others will be lost. There will be a great harvest when the wheat and the weeds will be separated forever. And He wants us to do all we can, together with Him, for that harvest to be rich in good fruit. And the Lord Jesus would not be calling us to this mission to be good seed, mustard trees, and leaven unless He were prepared to give us everything He knows we need to fulfill it. When I was young and watching television, there used to be these commercials for Miracle-Gro, that you'd plant in a little garden and all of a sudden, voila, lots of fruit. Jesus Himself gives us that Miracle-Gro fertilizer here at Mass, and He tells us, whoever has ears to hear ought to hear. Praise be Jesus Christ. No.